Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio with Janelle and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, and we've been discussing Bartimaeus, the blind man, and how he just threw off his cloak and just came to Jesus, and nothing deterred him from wanting to be healed by Jesus because he had faith in him. And we also talked about how our sins can so easily entangle us and how he just threw it off.
It's an amazing passage. And so I'm going to start off, let Janelle go ahead and story for us.
Okay.
And then we'll get into it.
Okay, so Jesus is with his disciples, and they're in Jericho, and there's a large, large crowd as they're leaving the city. And when they leave a city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting on the roadside, and he was begging. And he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, and so he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." But many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But that just made him shout even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man and said, "Cheer up, get on your feet," or "Take courage, get on your feet. He's calling you." So the man threw aside his cloak, jumped to his feet, and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately the man received sight, and he began to follow Jesus.
That's so good. So last time we ended with talking about how we have to get rid of the hindrances. We have to let them go. And I had said that I would share a story that's from the great American rival in the 1773. Adam Clark commentary tells of this story, and I'm going to read. Well, I'll tell it, but it's in my own words, but I want to, it's incredible, but it blows your mind. And it's like a parable from the 1700s that fits this passage perfectly. As the traveling evangelists were going around, they were finding that both whites and blacks were coming to Christ. And all of the barriers that had been built up between the two people groups of color, all of a sudden, the minute they came to the Lord, was a non-issue, because that's the way it is. And so one day, this man, and they don't give the names of the men, they just call one the white man, one the black man. And so that's how I'll use it for the story. They said they were standing together, and they both realized they had Jesus. And as all Christians do, they began to share their story. And so the white man said, "I was 3 months deep in distress of my soul before God, before he spoke peace into me and cleansed my guilty conscience." And then his black man friend said, "From the first time I first heard of Jesus, I felt I was a sinner, and I received the knowledge of salvation by the remission of my sins." His white friend asked, "Why is the reason that your salvation came so much sooner than mine?" And the black friend said, "Well, you white men have so much clothing on you that when Christ calls you, you cannot run to him. But we poor black men, we don't have anything. In fact, all we may have is this cloth that's tied around our waist. So when we hear the call, it's nothing for us to throw it off and run instantly to Jesus." Wow.
I
know. Talk about convicting. And so in the break, you know, I was telling the ladies, I was like, you know, I always worry I'm not going to have enough. And Janelle's like, "Well, let's focus on the call." And I'm like, that fits in perfectly right here. And so, Janelle, I want you to share what you saw in the passage.
I just thought it was interesting because it's repeated. And anytime anything is repeated in Scripture, that probably means it's important. But Jesus specifically says to the man, or says to the people around him, "Call him." It just sounds so personal that he wanted to call the man specifically. And then when they come to him, they tell him to take courage, to cheer up, to get on his feet, because Jesus is calling him. And it's the same call that Jesus issues to us. It's a call to come to him and to follow him and to have him serve you.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And so we have to reflect on what do I have that I'm hindering me? And then when I hear the call, you know, am I getting up and going and letting go of it? And I love the fact that he told the group to come, to go get him. For our leadership, the resident assistants on campus, the resident directors, and our group, we decided this year our theme for the year is Take Courage. And this passage here is the only time in Scripture that take courage, which is the Greek word tharseo, is used of somebody other than Christ being the one that's referring to it. And so he's actually to a Jewish person. This is to a Gentile. No, I'm not saying that right. I just totally just said I don't know what I'm talking about. It just happened. But it's the only time in this passage that it's used this way. And it's for him to take courage coming to Jesus. And so when he tells him take courage and they go over to him, I was blown away. There's like a process. They get over to him and Jesus says, I'm calling you. And they said, get up. He's calling you. They say, get up, take courage. He's calling you. So when we see somebody who is crying out to Jesus, our role as a servant is to be the person who says, get up, take courage. He's calling you. Because John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, it's a calling to anybody. Mm-hmm. So we can clearly say to somebody, take courage, come to Jesus. And so I actually did this passage this summer with our RA team and our RDs when we were in the mountains in Colorado at Ponderosa Camp. And we were evaluating how we could be the servant, how we could be the one that is the person that goes to somebody and say, get up, take courage, Jesus is calling you, and looking into the circumstances and trying to figure it out. And I found this quote that I wanted to read to us that fits in with what we're talking about. And it's St. Francis says, we come closer to Jesus when we serve. As Jesus said to his disciples, anyone who wants to be great in the kingdom must be a servant. And so he's challenging us that that's where our greatness happens, is through that. And he gave this example of the cross, and then he talks about how, you know, the vertical line is God serving us coming down, and then the horizontal line is us going across the earth as the servants. And that when we allow the flow of God coming down into us and we receive his call, the automatic overflow, especially if we allowed the hindrances to get out of the way, will be that horizontally, far as the east to the west, we will go and be the servants, you know, reaching the world. And so Holman New Testament commentary, they give principles that we could live by from this passage. So real quick, let's just list off some principles we think we should live by. When you're reading this, what's a principle you want?
The idea of throwing off what hinders us and then also issuing the call that we've been given to others.
Yeah, that's good.
And to press forward.
Press forward.
No matter what.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That's good. For me, it was really being willing to see and then to move. Because sometimes I can hear something, but I don't necessarily get up and go and join. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And so for me, it was a reminder that I need to be on the move. I want to be the person in the crowd that doesn't rebuke. I want to be the person in the crowd that goes, hey, get up. He's calling you.
Yeah. Go.
Go to him. Well, the Holman, it supports what you guys said. And it says, if anything comes between us and the Lord, that we have to cast it aside.
You know, you think about that, and that's our daily meditation of examining our heart, not somebody else's heart, you know, but our own heart.
I know. And, the more I dig into ministry, the more I find that ministry can get in the way of me coming to God.
Oh.
I know that's crazy, but it's true.
No, I understand it.
The second thing they said is we must not hinder anyone from coming to Christ. Because of our words or our actions. Mm-hmm. Being the person who rebukes somebody from getting to Jesus, that's not good. In fact, that's as bad as, you know, tying a millstone to your neck. The third thing they said is, in service to Christ, we'll find that our true greatness comes through our acts of service, not our wealth. Mm-hmm. And so really evaluating, you know, how to be that horizontal servant that St. Francis of Assisi challenged the people to allow the overflow of God to be so evident in us that without thinking that it's natural that the horizontal takes place, that we become a living cross. And then number four, they said that in submitting ourselves to others, we serve Jesus. Hmm. And that submission, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you see it happen together. I was pondering this, and I'm actually going to take this question to our leadership team today when we go into a staff meeting with our RAs and our RDs. I'm going to play on this for a second. Small acts make great stories. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, think of a small act that you've seen that turns in. It's just a beautiful story that's a blessing. Can you think of something that's happened that's just a small act that's been a blessing? I can give one quickly. Sandy is a great giver, okay? And because of those small acts, it encourages others to want to give. And Janelle is a great servant. Every time I turn around, Janelle is finding a way to serve. And I think probably more than she could probably keep up with, because it's those small acts that make great stories. Mm-hmm. And so think on a small act of how it's blessed you.
Well, I'm not thinking of blessing me, but I'm thinking of blessing my daughter. Mm-hmm. She's going through cancer right now, and she is just so humbled by how many people have reached out a card. You know, a card is a small act, but it's such an encourager, or food or gifts or mm-hmm. a text, mm-hmm. you know, to encourage her. Mm-hmm. Those are great.
That's good.
What you just did, pointing out people's gifts, like that small encouragement of, I see this in you, and I affirm it in you. Mm-hmm. That's a small thing, but it means a lot.
Yeah, it does mean a lot.
It does. I always take this challenge that if I have a clerk at a store that doesn't smile, it's like a personal goal of mine that small act for the day is to get them to smile or to laugh. And if I can get a laugh out of somebody that I thought there was no way, I feel like, okay, I've done something. Right.
But you know, just when you say smile, that's a small act, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
Very few people don't smile back. There are some, but not very many.
Right, right. Now let's switch that. Small acts make great stories. I want us to think on something that was a small act that left to cursing. It wasn't a blessing. It hurt. Oh. Mm. The flip side of it, because the small act of the rebuke could have turned him away. I'll give you a small act that caused great grief in our world, actually. Adolf Hitler applied to get into an art school, and he was denied. Well, the art school was run all by Jewish people.
Look at that act.
And that act is what began his hatred for the nation of the Jews. And think of what happened through the Holocaust. All right, so flip side, small acts make great stories, can have the beautiful blessing of seeing how it changes lives to the positive, but we can also see how small acts can cause great stories that destroy lives. Grant and I were talking on it, challenging, you know, and he said, well, Mom, and he goes, that makes me think of the cartoon. And I go, okay. And he goes, well, it's this drawing. We tried to find it. We can't. I want to find it. I've got to find this cartoon. Mm-hmm. But it's a guy or a girl standing there, and it has all of these bubbles. The whole grid of the cartoon is filled with bubbles. And it's all of these things that people have said. Mm-hmm. Every single bubble, amazing, like, you are awesome, you are such a good friend, I thank God for you, I can see God at work in you, wow, thank you. I mean, just, and then one little bubble says, I don't like you.
Mm-hmm. That's next, that positive negative.
Yeah. Next grid, the person walks off, all the bubbles are gone except for mm-hmm. that little itty bitty bubble that says, I don't like you. That small act mm-hmm. made a great story and a negative effect, in that person's focusing in on that. Mm-hmm. We have to choose not to listen to the rebuke of the crowd,
right?
But to choose to focus in on what we know is truth, and that's Jesus and what he is who he is and get our mind and focus there. And so thinking through that, it just profoundly hit me. And then thinking through the story of the Great American Revival of the two men and how they went through that. And just Bartimaeus and the small act of him just keep pressing in. And Jesus answered his cry and he was healed. That's amazing. It's beautiful. It's powerful. And so we have just a few minutes. I want to talk about the fact that when Jesus said, go on your way, your faith has made you well. Okay. Not a lot of words. Uh-uh. Small phrases, right? Go on your way. Your faith has made you well. He is allowing him to see that because his faith was in Christ, that's what has brought the healing. And it says immediately Bartimaeus was able to see, and then he started following Jesus. But Jesus told him, go on your way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, follow me to him. His belief,
lines up. Yeah.
He literally, that call that we began with, Janelle, he made it to where it was his. Mm-hmm. He became a part of the people that went through the parade that was going to Jerusalem following Jesus.
He made a choice.
Yeah. Huge, small act. Great change. And so the Greek word is seso, and it carries the connotation of being saved. So when it says, your faith has made you well is seso. It has a double meaning. It means to be healed physically and saved spiritually. It wasn't just a physical, you have eyesight. It was a spiritual, he now had Jesus. So following Jesus on the way is a technical term for discipleship. This is what Holman says. The fact recorded Bartimaeus, he literally becomes a disciple and a great leader who serves in the midst of relationships. So when we are really doing those small acts, we're in discipleship with Jesus, then that's when true great stories of blessing come. You know, it's like great leaders, they say, serve in the midst of relationships. And so it's not in the big moments or anything. It's always in those small acts that profound things happen. Well, we're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we hope to hear from you. Next week, we're going to talk about the example of prayer that we see, and then we'll go into what should our faith look like. Come back, and we'll go into those. God bless.